One of the things that happened in the movement from the the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Testament, the New Covenant with God, is that Yahweh, our Almighty God, became our Father. From a servant to a son, as we cry out to our Abba Daddy. That is an amazing change that took place because of Jesus. And that's one thing I love about these songs that we were just singing, because it's us to our Father. It's us in intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, today we're going to be talking about the seven levels of prosperity for a believer. I want to start with some thoughts before we get to the outline. So, as I just mentioned, today we want to talk about prosperity. But we want to talk about prosperity God's way. The focus of prosperity is God. It's not money. It's not wealth. It's not riches. It's not financial acumen. See, because when our focus is on God and His way, then the flow of resources through our lives is automatic, so that we can accomplish God's purposes. A definition of prosperity that we have used around here is that true prosperity is the ability to release God's power into any situation. So whether it be a healing situation, a relationship situation, or a money situation, true prosperity is knowing how to release the power of God into those situations. One of the problems with the Christian prosperity message is that the focus on God is so easily overshadowed by people's focus on money, on riches. The most of the people that teach prosperity, they live it out themselves because they learned how to prosper God's way. And sometimes in the conveyance of that message, it's easy for people to kind of skip that part of it and focus on the money, the riches. See, when we talk about prosperity, one of the things that we need to do is we really need to be aware of our heart motivation. Here's a good gauge to see where your heart is. If I handed you a stack of $100 bills worth $100,000, what would be the first thing you think about? Spending or giving? I remember several years ago, I was beginning to get involved with this project. And the result of that project, we were projecting out, would be a profit of somewhere around $2.5 million. And I remember after we kind of went through all that and kind of figured it out and kind of outlined it out on paper, what it would look like and the costs and the potential income and everything, we looked at that and I thought, wow, we get to be able to tithe $250,000 to ABC, That was my focus. It wasn't on, wow, 1.2 million. No, it's what can I give? The $250,000 to ABC would certainly have been a blessing. So is it, we're talking about $100,000. So do you think about spending $10,000 on a new car or $10,000 for the tithe? Are you thinking about ways to bless yourself or ways to bless others? There was a man I know that he was at a convention in Dallas, Texas. And it was at this convention that he got a new level of understanding in the area of wealth and finances. At this particular convention, they had an area where vendors were there promoting their services and their products and that kind of thing. So he was there. He was there with a booth himself, and he was over talking to one of his friends, and they were talking, and then this man's wife came up to him and said, hey, Joe, I don't know if she called him Joe, but honey, we're going to go do some shopping. Can I have some money? And he said, sure. So he pulls out this pouch, you know, like a bank pouch, right? And he opens it up, unzips it, and there is a stack of money like this in there, all $100 bills. And he said, how much do you want? She said, about an inch. And so this gave this guy a whole new understanding. He says, people are counting money, $100 bills, by the inch, not by the value. So it gave him an appreciation for money. And when we have that kind of money, that kind of wealth and resources in our lives, boy, what an opportunity to be a blessing. In thinking about money, though, we need to always go back, because of the wickedness of man's heart, we need to always go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want to read some verses out of 1 Timothy chapter 6. He's talking here about men that are teaching contrary things to the Word of God. And he makes this statement. He's talking about perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And that word gain there is actually referring to riches, to an increase of riches, of money. From such withdraw thyself. For godliness, see, it was the gain is godliness, but true godliness, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. For they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from their faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, O child of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And then he goes on. I'm going to skip a few verses. And he says this. charge them that are rich in this world's goods, that they be not high-minded, in other words, full of pride, and I'm better than you because I've got this money, to not be high-minded, nor to trust in uncertain riches. In other words, our trust is not in riches, goes on, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So the riches are coming from God. Going on, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate. Both of those basically mean the same thing, to distribute out of their wealth, and to communicate to others, again, giving to others. So ready to distribute and willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So here we're talking about end times things, and we're talking about, like Paul said, that he didn't want to be counted unworthy when it came, or that he missed God's plan for him in the end. In other words, our storing up is not a storing up of wealth. Our storing up is a storing up of spiritual power. So again, going back to what I said, we must really be aware of our heart motivation when it comes to riches and money and resources in our lives. When God and His ways are our focus, then money flows into and through our lives to take care of our needs, to bless the kingdom of God, the people of God, and people in need. In God, we grow from living to give. This is kind of, and this is, I'm kind of getting a little bit into our outline here, from living to give to giving to live. So we, that is the path that God wants to take us on, and we'll see that today as we go through these seven levels. Remember, God is a giving God. For God so loved the world that He gave. He wasn't keeping it for Himself. He loved the world that He gave. He gave us Jesus, and in Jesus He gave us everything that we need for life and godliness. Now, Jesus Himself was a wealthy man, not because He had a lot of assets, but because resources flowed through Him to meet the needs for Himself, His disciples. Remember these 12 guys plus others that followed Him, and women and different ones. He had quite a group of people that He was responsible for. And these were young, most of them were young men in their late teens and early 20s. So when they ate, they didn't just eat a few little pieces, you know. They were hungry guys. So through Him, God met all these needs. And also for those around Him. Remember how when at the Last Supper, after Judas had gone out to betray Him, some of the disciples were thinking, oh, He must have gone to give because He held the bag. And so that was not uncommon for Judas as the treasurer to go out and to give at Jesus's instruction. So Jesus tithed, Jesus gave, Jesus met His obligations, and God met all His needs. Miracles happen. The feeding of the 5,000, the coin in the fish's mouth to be able to pay the taxes. Miracles happened. Wealthy people gave to His ministry. In Luke, it talks about women of substance that were with the group of disciples that gave into His ministry. So there was a flow. And that's the kind of flow that we want to have in our minds. in our lives because we are focusing on God and His ways. Now, Pastor James had a word from the Lord that many ABCers by the end of this year would be millionaires as a result of focusing on God and His word in the area of prosperity. Are you ready to learn how to prosper in God so you can be a blessing in every way? Well, if you're ready, let's do it. As a friend of mine says, let's get into this. The chart that we have here is reflected pretty much in its fullness in the outline itself. So you can use the chart for reference if you'd like, but we're going to go to the outline. So level one. The level one of the seven levels of prosperity. Level one, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This level one is the foundation. It is the base. And from this, it never changes. This is the base that feeds into every one of these levels. Because as you are seeking first the kingdom of God, you're going to learn God's ways. You're going to learn who God is. You're going to learn what His word says. And as a result, you're going to do what God's word says. You're going to tithe. You're going to give. You're going to work as unto the Lord diligently. You're going to walk in humility. You're going to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the wisdom of God. And as you go through these levels and through these steps in your life, as God is leading you and guiding you, they will render you that you will be a prosperous person that is able to give to every need that is around you. So characteristics of level one, it provides our basic food, clothing, shelter, and protection. See, as we wrap our life around God, as we make Him the center of our lives in everything that we do, then prosperity begins to flow. Our needs are met. Matthew chapter 6, start with verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. That means no worry, no scheming, no hard laboring. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. See, that becomes their focus. They are a people without a covenant. And that is their focus. Goes going on, for your heavenly Father. There it is. See, the Gentiles, those that have no covenant with God, that's all they have, is what they can do for themselves. But we have a Father. Amen. We have a Father who has counted the hairs on our head. We have our Father who feeds the birds of the air and clothes the flowers of the field. But then it goes on to say, that are we not worth much more than them? Amen. We have a Father, and He knows. Going on, it says, our Father knows that we have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God. Make it your number one priority. The word seek there means to search as for something hidden. So it's just not a casual search. It's just not looking around and what's obvious in front of us. It is a deep search. That's why we need to be in the Word. That's why we need to be doing things in our life that promote God and His ways in our life. That's why we need to be renewing our minds so our mind is transformed. Our lives are transformed as we renew our minds to the Word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way of being and doing things. Remember, the scripture tells us that the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. In another place, we are told, and equity, what is fair, what is right. So when we seek God, seek His kingdom, His reign and authority over us, so that we are obedient children living in the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, then we find His righteousness, His way of doing things right. And in that finding all those things, it says, and all these things shall be added unto us. All these things. It starts with God. It doesn't start with our job. It doesn't start with our investments. It doesn't start with our 401k. It starts with God. It doesn't start with our schooling. You know, the you want to say Gentiles, a common way of thinking is you go to school, you work hard, you get a good education, so you can graduate, you go on to college, and then you get out and you get a good job and you work hard and you're diligent in your work and you promote up the ladder, and then when you get to retirement age, you can retire. And that's the Gentile way of focusing on what can I do to better my life. But we're talking about a different way. We're talking about God's way. Now, God's way may look very much like that way, but because He's our Father, He knows that we have need, because we have put Him first, and we're seeking Him, seeking His kingdom, seeking His righteousness, then the outcome, while very similar in some ways, is going to be so much better, because the flow of living in God's ways is going to be so much richer, and we'll do so much more and so much better. So what are actions? We need to live in the kingdom of God by living with Jesus as Lord of our life and being obedient to His Word and the Spirit. Things that we often teach here at ABC. Confessing our sins, USPs, establishing the kingdom of God, spending time in the Word, praying in tongues, spending time with the Father. And I could go on, this whole page could be listed with things that we've talked about and affirmations and all these things that we are focusing on God. As we focus on Him, He is our provider. Level 2, tithing. Going on to a new and a different level. We're focusing on God, and one of the things we learn as we focus on God and His Word is that God requires us to give. He requires us to tithe. So, characteristics of tithing: provides an abundance for your basic needs, requiring enlarging your territory. So tithing, a tenth. Giving to the Lord as He is required. Malachi 3, I'm going to read 10 and 11. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith. See, when it talks here about proving God, What it's really talking about is trusting him enough that in this crucial area of our lives, our financial provision, that we are willing to trust him enough to give him 10%. Prove me, he says, test me. And that test is a stepping out in faith. I remember a story of a man who was earning $500 a week. And so he was learned about tithing, and so he was glad to be able to give $50 a week in tithing to the Lord. But then as times increased and as things happened, he found himself with a job that was paying him $50,000 a month. And he went to a friend of his, and he said, I really need your prayer. He said, you know, I make $50,000 a month. That means my tithe is $5,000. He said, that's just too much money. And the guy said, you're right. I'll tell you what, I'll pray for you. I'll pray that you'll get a job that pays you less money. And the guy said, well, no, I don't want you to do that. Okay, $5,000, okay, fine. And so he started giving the $5,000. But you know, as the figures grow, you know, the $1.2 million turning into $250,000, yeah, that gets to be a lot, or $2.5 million, whatever it was. Anyway, sounds like a lot of money. So he says, prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He didn't say he's going to pour us out $100 bills. He didn't say he's going to pour us out a bag of gold. He says, I'll pour you out a blessing. And when the blessing of God is in our life, then it is that blessing that then gives us the ability to turn what God has given us, that blessing, into resources that can be used. So he pours out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It goes on in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now, this is the second time we see this, and he's specifically saying, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not saith Jehovah Jireh, our provider. It's Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of heaven. So really, tithing is a spiritual endeavor that releases the warring angels of God on our behalf. So when we tithe, we give way to God's will in our lives, and it opens up doors that could not be opened otherwise. As someone has said, many people have said, that we can do better on the 90% with God than trying to do the 100% on our own, because the 90% is us partnering with God, and the windows of heaven are open, and the Lord of the hosts of heaven is working on our behalf. Amen. Amen. Give a tithe of all that you receive, and then pray over your tithe according to Deuteronomy 26, 13 through 15, that God will bless you in this land of milk and honey. Now, next week, Pastora Sarah will be focusing more on tithing, and we'll pick up some more of this, the steps and the things that we need to do in giving our tithing. Let's go on to the next one. Level 3, offerings. Offerings. Characteristics. Now, these are offerings above the tithe. Remember in Malachi 3, if you look at verse 9, which we didn't look at today, but if you look at verse 9, it says, how have you robbed me? And he says that you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. So offerings are an important part of our giving as well as the tithing, and the offerings are above our tithes. Characteristics, returns 30, 60, and 100-fold if given into the gospel. It is given above the tithe, which allows God's grace to abound and to abundantly supply every good work. So now we are learning how to give so that we live. We set our lives in a way that we are then a giving person. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." So God's method of getting money and finances and resources to us are through people. We'll talk about this a little more in the next level, but a lot of people think, well, all I need to do is to tithe. All I need to do then is give offerings, and then it's going to come. It's going to come. Says, well, good luck on that one. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We continue through this whole process to be needing to be doing it God's way. And God's way is through other people. God's way is through our actions that destroy the hindrances that prevent the resources from coming into our lives. Again, we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, the same measure in which you give, it shall be measured to you again. Galatians 6:6-7. Let him that is taught in the word communicate or to give, same as we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 6, communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. So one way of our giving is to give to those who have taught us. And really this works both ways. You could read it either way. It's we communicate to those that have taught us, or you could also look at it this way, that the man who is sowing by teaching is also benefiting by his teaching. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For we know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This scripture has the same impact as 1 Timothy 2:24. By his stripes we have been healed. And this one is, by his poverty we have been made rich. So this is showing what Jesus has done for us, and that as he became poor, as he had been rich, left the riches of heaven, became poor in comparison here on earth, that through his poverty, that we might be rich. So this then is expanded in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So this was 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So these two chapters on 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are both of them are on giving. He says this, but this I say, starting in verse 6, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully, every man according as he has purposed in his heart. And you might want to read that as he has prayed and sought the Lord, as he has purposed in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's a free will offering. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So here we see from the scripture that we just looked at about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that then in his poverty made us rich. So we see that the grace here is abounding towards us, that we, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So as we learn how to be givers and to walk in God's ways of giving here and giving there and giving to needs, that it will provide for us all sufficiency in our lives, that we can then abound and be bountiful in every good work. So every need that comes around, as God leads us, we can give to that need. So we are seeing here the flow as we tithe, as we give, and primarily as we seek God in his kingdom. Remember, it's all based on that foundation. So what? Well, let me go on to the next verse. Proverbs 22:9. He that hath a bountiful eye, I love that phraseology, a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread, his resources, his what he has in his life, he gives to the poor. Scripture that says that he who gives to the poor, God will repay. But notice there, it's the bountiful heart. See, that's why at the beginning I said we need to check our hearts. What is our motivation regarding wealth and riches? Is it just to get and to have stuff and feel comfortable and feel empowered because we've got some substance in our lives? No, it is to then be able to give. We want to be empowered to be a giving person, to have a bountiful eye, because it's one that has the attitude. See, riches and wealth, think of it like a river. Some people think of it as a pie. There's only so much to go around. We got to get our piece. No, think about it more like a river that flows. And as we need things, that river flows then in our life. There's an eddy that comes into our life out of that river that fills us with what we need. So having a bountiful eye means that we're not limited by what we see around us, what appears to be the resources. We have a bountiful eye. We think richly. We think we've got everything we need. We think that God can supply to us what we need to meet this need. And so we have a bountiful eye. And as a result, we give and we are blessed. It may be the last dollar, but we give it. We have a dollar. But you know what? God's got another one coming our way. So we give that dollar. And we say, thank you, Father. We are blessed. We can give, and we have that bountiful eye. He that has a bountiful eye is blessed and gives to the poor. So what do? We give at every opportunity to be a blessing to those in need, to bless the people of God, and the ministry of God's word. Give as led by the Spirit, who will guide your steps. There was a, I'm sure they still do this, but some years ago, Apostle Joshua and Pastor Sarah prayed on a regular basis that money would come into their lives today and every day. Money into their lives today and every day. They kept praying that and kept praying that. And there was one point in time that for a year and a half, money came in, or something came into their lives. Money, or sometimes it was goods, food, people giving of those kind of things that came into their life every single day without fail. Now, they'll tell you today that most days money is flowing. But you know why money is flowing in? Because money is flowing out. You'll never meet people that have more of a giving spirit and attitude than they have. They very much meet this criteria of a bountiful eye. And as they give, God continues to give to them and provide for them. I think I'm going to go ahead and stop this for today. And we'll pick it up at the end of November and go through levels 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Praise God. What a wonderful message, Pastor Matthew. Excellent. I knew it would be. You know, he talks about rivers of water of money flowing, and they call it streams of income. In fact, Robert Allen wrote a book called Multiple Streams of Income, and that's what you need, an income stream coming through, because you've always got new money to pull up. It's like new fish that you can catch. It's something new that comes through. So that's excellent, excellent. All right, so praise the Lord. Let's start with Holy Communion, okay? Let's all do a USP. Repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. According to 1 John 1:9. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians 11:24 to 26. The Lord Jesus said on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken to you in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Okay, praise the Lord. So please repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that ABC Church is unified according to 1 Corinthians 1:10. In the name of Jesus, that we all speak the same thing, and there will be no divisions among us, but that we're perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, just as we're unified with the Godhead, the three in one. We are unified with each other and with you, Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, in accordance with Psalm 118:17. We shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Partake of the body in Jesus' name. In the same manner, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Please repeat this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that our sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. We've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. We praise you that 2 Corinthians 5:17 is true, and that anyone who is in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Let's partake this drink of the Lord's cup. Excellent. Let's do our 20 affirmations. We've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Everybody ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. One more. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise the Lord.